Yo, what up, what's going on with my people? What's up with my beautiful people? Happy Sunday to everybody up out there, man. I hope that y'all feeling good. Y'all feeling great right now, man, because we is about to get up into a special edition of the morning after with No Plan B, baby. And you got to say the baby like you're from New Orleans. So, as y'all can see, I got my little notebook over here. I'm going to keep a little tally score as we're going on with this, the Big 12 versus the ACC. And the reason why I started this, just to put a little bit of, give y'all a little bit of background with this, is because I'm on Twitter one day and I'm sitting there looking at the, you know, what's going on. And I said to myself, I said, man, why would somebody say that the ACC is the weakest Power Five conference there is? Why would they say that? And you got to remember that with there being so many teams in the ACC that they rarely get a chance to play out of conference. I mean, with a lot of these schools, I guess you could say that. And as the more teams add in, the more conference games they're going to play. So when they do go on to play a out of conference game, and shout out to Rawhide, you did a fantastic job with explaining how important it is to win a out of conference game. And y'all need to go check it out. Rawhide Media for you. Shout out to them over there and what they're doing back of the bus. All those guys over there with a back of the bus gang. I'm looking forward to jumping in. Maybe after I'm done with this one, I don't know. But look, so I just wanted to start doing the matchup, you know, and I'm matching these guys up. Full disclaimer is how I'm doing this is their last year's record, but we're talking this year's team. Okay. But I'm matching them up off of the record, what they finished in last year. So it's fair, you know, rather they were in a Pac-12 or whatever else. Now, I am like I left out UCLA, USC, Oregon State out of the Big 12 yesterday. I'm going to leave out Wake Forest. They were 4-8 overall last year, and they were 1-7 in the ACC. And the only reason why I'm leaving them out is because I would then have to leave out SMU. And I think SMU deserves to be in there. Any team that goes undefeated in their conference, I don't care what conference it is, the MAC, Mountain West, I don't AAC, it doesn't matter to me. SMU coming over from the American Athletic Conference, but going undefeated over there, they beat teams like Tulane, Memphis. Those are, you know, two of the heavy hitters that's over there right now. And arguably, you know, Seth Hannigan, a quarterback from Memphis, probably can hang with a couple of Power Five schools, you know, especially in the Big 12. I mean, what happens if you take SMU and you put them in the Big 12 or the ACC? We're going to find out this year, but they definitely can hang with some of these guys. You know what I mean? Nonetheless, we've seen what happened to Tulane when they went to go up against Drones and Virginia Tech in a bowl game. Just explaining a little bit. And I know they do this in the bowl games, but I just went to have a little bit of fun. It's the off season. Have a little bit of fun with this. I hope y'all enjoy the content that I'm about to bring and some of these matchups. Keep a tally score because I'm going to keep mine at the end and I'll let y'all know. Read off the records and give y'all a little background on these teams while we go into it. All right. A little bit of information that I know. All right. So first off, we got, so I can see Stanford, Cardinal, and the Cincinnati Bearcats. Now, for those who don't know, like I said, Stanford finished 3-9 overall, 2-7 in their conference. Cincinnati finished 3-9 overall, 1-8 in the conference. Now, Cincinnati, we really don't know what's going on with Scott Satterfield and his Bearcats. It's right to left, Troy Taylor and the Stanford Cardinal. They seem to be a little bit more grounded, if you will. They have a little bit more of a foundation, even though these guys are young. Elijah Brown, a quarterback, Alec Anamayor, the receiver. Seem like these guys still got a couple more years to get it together. I know a lot of guys are moving around in the transfer portal. You have to be a very good student and a smart student to attend Stanford. So, you know, their awareness and their likeliness to make little mistakes on a football field to me should be right up there with that. So, but with that being said, and I know I'm getting into going on a tangent or whatever, but Brandon Sorsby is a veteran quarterback that came over from the Indiana Hoosiers and is now with the Cincinnati Bearcats. He made some mistakes, played decent in it was poor, below average. I'll say below average. In the Big Ten over there in Indiana, I think that Indiana, they had the receivers. The receiving core was nice over there, bailed them out a lot. And I just don't know if Cincinnati has that. Okay. We've seen what Stanford can do and how resilient they can be. But this year, based off of this year and matching these guys up this year, I'm going to have to go with Stanford in this one, man. So that's one for the ACC for me. All right, let me make sure I'm marking this down as we go on. So if I'm turning over here, that's because I'm marking the tally marks for either or. All right. Now, we got Virginia matching up with Colorado. Now, I got a little bit of bias when it comes to that. You know, Virginia finishing 3-9 overall, 2-6 in the conference. Then Colorado finishing 4-8 overall, 1-8 in their conference. You're like, what's going on here? You know, but whatever. You know, they do have Shedeur Sanders. If they win and if Shedeur throws over 3,000 yards, he will be a first-round draft pick. If they have a 7-5, 8-4 type of season, I think that he can wind up being a first-round draft pick because we've seen it done. We've seen it done this year with Jalen Daniels from LSU. We've seen that happen, right? LSU did not have the perfect record last year, like how we thought they would have. They took some L's in some games that they probably shouldn't have lost, but you know, he can't do nothing about the defense. And in this case, Shedeur can't do nothing about the defense, but they got a patched up offensive line. And what I mean by that is just what it is. Virginia has Anthony, I can't pronounce his last name, the quarterback, Kosselaar, something like that. But under Tony Elliott, head coach, versus Deion Sanders, I would have to say, and this is me being biased, I'm being honest a little bit with this, I have to say Colorado in a close one, a very close one. Seeing what they have this year versus Virginia, it's close. It's been a super close game. But, you know, it's just me just trying to show some love. That's all. You know, I'm just being honest, but I can't get mad at either way. I'm not mad at either way with this game. And the only reason why I'm saying Colorado has the better quarterback play, I think they have the better running back play. I don't know for sure just yet, but I think in those skill position areas that they're going to get it. And then when you got Travis Hunter, he can provide offense when you need offense to bail out, and you can plug him in on defense. And I think talent-wise, this is one of those games where that will probably play out a little bit more, but Virginia does have some nice trenches. They do. But like I said, I'm leaning with Colorado in this one. So we'll go 1-1 so far. All right. One for the Big 12. Colorado got y'all one. All right. So when you go Pat Narduzzi, they were 3-9 overall last year, 2-6 in the conference. Then you got Dave Aranda and Baylor. They were 3-9 overall, 2-7 in their conference. Pitt under Pat Narduzzi, he's another one of those guys that has a quarterback drama over there at Pitt with Eli Halston. I don't know what Eli Halston is going to do. I don't know. I haven't seen his speed-wise. Looks more like a pocket type of passer. But you know a lot of guys in college can scoot and they can run. Just because they don't look like they can run, they can. But Pitt did lose Deion Hayes and Sam Okanola to Colorado. Now, I don't know if they were trying to keep these guys or not. I know at least they were trying to keep Deion Hayes for sure. Sam Okanola, he just was at the right place at the right time because he was a little bit more disciplined, I should say. He was a little bit more disciplined. And Colorado, they definitely need that over there. But losing those two edge pass rushers, I think it hurts Pitt a little bit, especially when you're going up against a veteran team like Baylor under Dave Aranda, the Quan Finn quarterback, and the guys that they're bringing in and the guys that already have around there. Man, I think that they're going to ball out, and I think they're going to do good. But do not sleep, and I want to put y'all down with this name real quick. It was 3-star linebacker coming from Aliquippa High School named Cameron Lindsay. Aliquippa is the same high school Darrell Revis came from. Pitt has a strong history of players and developing guys, but Cameron Lindsay, this middle linebacker from Aliquippa High School, he'd be a freshman this year. I don't know if he'll get some burn, but I'm looking forward to seeing him in the future. 6'2", 220-ish right now, going up on 230. Run like the wind, very athletic type of guy. Played basketball and football. I think he might have been a 3-sport athlete in high school. I'm not sure, but I know for sure he was a 2-sport athlete in high school. So he's an athletic linebacker, could jump, got the size, tackle. He's everywhere on the ball. Big long hair, looking like a baby Troy Polamalu out there. So keep an eye on him. 24/7 had him ranked as a 3-star, but I think he's a 4-star for sure going up to Pitt. Name is Cameron Lindsay. But yeah, in this game, I got to go with Baylor, man. Just because of the quarterback position over there. And I know in college it don't work, but yeah, Pitt likes to throw the ball. And I don't know if Eli Holster could get it done. All right, so that's another one for the Big 12. They're up on the ACC right now in my count. But when you get to looking at this game, Fran Brown, man, Fran Brown got Syracuse, and they got it rolling over there right now, man. I think they got things cooking, even though they, you know, they went up pick up Kyle McCord, and Kyle McCord didn't play up to Ohio State standards last year, okay? Kyle McCord, I think that Kyle McCord was a good quarterback, you know? He just didn't play into the fan base and what everybody wanted to see. They wanted to see a little bit more flash. But let's just be honest, y'all. If you get to looking at the tape, I mean, people were on Marvin Harrison. They were on him. Defenses and the coaches was making sure he didn't get the ball. But, you know, they really were planning around that. So, you know, go look at the film on that. But Syracuse under Fran, and not under Fran Brown, but Syracuse last year finished 6-7 overall, 2-6 in the conference. And then when you go look at BYU, BYU under Kalani, you don't know what's going on there. They got Gary Bonahan at quarterback. He's a veteran guy, been around. He's in his senior year. He played up over at USF, and he had Xavier Weaver and Jimmy Horn Jr., young guys. I don't know if that has something to do with it, them being a little bit younger, but you got two speedsters that can run routes good, and they both were, I think they were seasoned coming in too. And at the time of it being when he played with these guys, the NIL just hasn't kicked in just yet. So USF being in the lower conference, lower competition, I think that his passing stats should have been a lot better than what they was. I don't know how he's going to fare over with Kalani over at BYU, but BYU was overall 5-7, 2-7 in the conference. In this game, in this matchup this year, I'm definitely going with Syracuse, man, without a doubt. Man, I think they put a hurting on BYU, man. So I got to put one over there for the ACC. Boston College. Good matchup, man. We know Willie Fritz came in with Houston, and he just cleaned house. He went and pulled a Coach Prime move. He said, I got to come in here, got to build culture. But he kept Donovan Smith. Why is that? Why did he let so many other players go, but he did not let go of Donovan Smith? That's for a reason. If you look at the stats, or if you look at the film will tell you he turned the ball over, right? He will turn the ball over, forced it in there, trying to play hero ball. I don't think that Donovan Smith has to play hero ball under Willie Fritz. I think that Willie Fritz tells him, look, just take care of the ball, play your game. Big guy. He can move. He can get it done. He's not the fastest guy, most ever, but he's definitely one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the Big 12. Donovan Smith is, hands down. We've seen with a little bit of what Thomas Castellanos can do. He could run around like crazy. I mean, to be honest, I think that they were playing Florida State pretty good up until a certain point. Then the game just started getting sloppy, like there was no play calling. It was just straight up backyard football. Let Thomas try to run around and try to throw it to a open receiver. It got kind of sloppy to me. And that is not like a Bill O'Brien, you know what I mean? So I'm like, what's going on there? But he is a veteran guy, and they do have some of their big guys coming back, and they're going to need that. But Thomas Castellano, I think this will be a very good game over there with them. But I am leaning towards Boston College because they have to build continuity over there in Houston, and that takes time. We're bringing all those new players in, and Boston College has some of their guys coming back, and they got a veteran quarterback that played there with Bill O'Brien. So that's why I'm going with Boston College in this one. So that's three for the ACC for me. Now, when we looking at this, right, we look at this game, Miami and Arizona State. Miami overall under Mario Cristobal finished 7-6, 3-5 in the conference. We know that a lot of Miami fans are not happy with that, but he's just trying to build something up from the bottom. They probably should have had a lot of better time. I think that when they started struggling, to me, honestly, I don't know this to be true. This is just me speculating. This is my opinion on this situation. I thought that they should have put Jakari Brown in there a little bit more and let him rock out, you know, let him finish up, get some time. Let's see what we got going here. And I believe some real Miami fans might have felt that same way. I don't know this to be true, but they had some struggles last year. But if we're talking this year's team, Cameron Ward, Damian Martinez in that backfield, they got Xavier Restrepo, leading receiver, coming back. They made some changes in the transfer portal that they needed. Mario Cristobal, hell of a recruiter. Arizona State, we know Arizona State went and grabbed a tight end for Colorado, but came from Cincinnati with Mateer. I think he's a good receiving tight end. I don't know as much on a blocking. Look like he don't put that much effort into blocking, but I don't know if he wants to win. That's something he'll have to get down. I definitely think that you know, them grabbing up, and that they're making the moves and grabbing up the running back, you know they're going to make moves. You know they got to make moves. Still got Scatterboo back there. They got a one nasty 1-2 punch going on over there right now in Arizona State. Now, what do you think that Arizona State's going to do under Kerry Dillingham? We don't know. We don't really know. But Miami, I think this is just an overmatched team for Arizona State. But, you know, hey, look, I'm just matching them up line for line from based off of last year's record. But I think Miami comes out with this dub, man. But I do think that Arizona State got some fight in them. And I think that they'd be all right. So that's another one for the ACC. The ACC right now got four to the Big 12's two as far as my count goes. Now, Cal. Oh, yeah. Cal is going to get busy. They went and grabbed the quarterback from North Texas. And what's his name? Chandler Rogers. But we know that Cal finished 6-7 overall last year, 4-5 in their conference. And look, man, if the under head coach Justin Wilcox, they got a running back. They have a nasty running back, a young quarterback that is good. Cal does. For them to be 4-5 in the Pac-12, it was last year. He was a true freshman quarterback, young running back. A lot of their guys came back. I know they're in the ACC this year. I don't know if maybe they'll have a similar record this year, but they possibly could do better. But TCU under Sonny Dykes, we know that TCU had some struggles last year and the moves they made. But we do know that they may have Imani Bailey coming back, they running back. And when you got guys like that who could come back and contribute to your offense, and you know your quarterback coming back, and look, TCU could be a surprise team in the Big 12. And this matchup right here would be a very good matchup between both of these teams. But in this matchup, I would probably be leaning more towards Sonny Dykes and TCU to take this win. All right. Because TCU was 5-7 last year overall and 3-6 in their conference. And I think that they could do a little bit better this year, maybe. You know, I do honestly think they could do that, be a little bit better. But I'm definitely going with TCU in this game over Cal. I think they got one there. So my count, Big 12 3, ACC 4. Let's go. All right. Oh, Miami fans really don't like them. They don't really like Duke. And part of that's Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz over there with Duke. Had them guys over there 8-5 overall, 4-4 in the ACC, broke out even when it came to the competition. I thought they played, they should have played a lot better than what they did. UCF first year in the Big 12 was last year. They finished 6-7 overall, 3-6 in the conference. But we do know that they are on the rise under Gus Malzahn, grabbing up two great quarterbacks, Ja'Cari Brown coming from over from Miami. They got Penny Boone in the backfield. He was the lead and rusher over there in the MAC division up there at Toledo, played with Daquan Finn, who is now at Baylor. They got some talent over there, and they know how to develop guys. So I think that he'll add to that running back room over there with Harvey. Him and Harvey, probably that 1-2 punch is nasty. They are, UCF is probably, to me, in my opinion, the only team in the Big 12, as far as I looked, as far as I know, that has two quarterbacks who can get it done. And KJ Jefferson being one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the NCAA this year. And then having Ja'Cari Brown, even with his experience over there at Miami in that room, that quarterback room is just going to be great. And if one of those guys was to go down, or to break a shoelace, they are probably one of the only teams in the Big 12 who has another quarterback that can step up and keep the team going and going. And I think that they're prepared to go with Gus Malzahn. I think UCF is prepared to go. I really do. That they're ready to take it on and ready to take the next step this year. But we'll see how that happens. It is way easier to plug a quarterback into a system when you have all the other pieces rather than have trying to plug a whole defensive line and offensive line in the system, because the continuity that has to come with that. Now, just getting a quarterback to come in and learn with his receivers, I think, is an easier job. It's just me, though, in my opinion. But like Malik Murphy coming over from, and they think that Malik Murphy with a under Manny Diaz may be a good match. I think that that may be a good match coming over from Texas, transferring over, young guy. Let's see what they can do. They had a decent run game. They might be bringing some key players back on the offensive line, key players on the defensive line in this game. I think that this would be a good matchup, good game. Come down to the line with it, man. But I'm leaning towards the Big 12 and Gus Malzahn, because what happens if Malik Murphy's not there? What do they do? What do they do? They got UCF guy. They're bringing back their good O-line. Gus Malzahn and UCF, I think, get the edge in this game with me. And that's one for the Big 12, man. I got to go with the Big 12 in this one, y'all. Definitely. I definitely do, y'all. All right. I'm not trying to set this up in no way, shape, or form. Let me put that disclaimer out there. I'm not. Just saying. They got, you know, just saying, man. All right. Okay, by the way, let's get up into this one. Now we got North Carolina facing Kansas. This matchup, man, with North Carolina and Kansas under Lance Leopold, right? They have one of the best running backs in the Big 12. Both of these running backs is going to go crazy. I mean, you got Devin Neal for Kansas. Then you got Omarion Hampton for UNC. So as far as running backs go, that's a good matchup. Is it not? You know what I mean? Is it not? So they match up good at running back. So you know they both can run the ball well. So that's already taken care of. So Mark Brown. So you say, well, what's the next step they got to go to? So let's look at the quarterbacks. You got Max Johnson over there. UNC looking like he might be the starter. But then you got I'm going blank here real quick. What's the guy's name over there at quarterback for Jalen Daniels? I'm sorry, Jalen Daniels over there at Kansas. But we don't know if he's going to stay healthy or if he's going to come out. I think that this game is a game that just comes down to who's more disciplined. I was making a big deal lately about penalties and how penalties matter. And how we really don't put that in account to game. So it's just more discipline. But in this game, I would have to say UNC would think that they have the run game in Omarion Hampton. That's just crazy. I know that. However, I do know that Kansas under Lance Leopold, they got a running game. They got a quarterback. They got some wide receivers. But UNC, man, they had a good season last year. And, I mean, both of these teams are bringing back enough pieces to keep the thing going. North Carolina was 8-5 overall, 4-4 in the division in their conference. And then got Kansas that was 9-4, and they were 5-4 in their conference last year. I think this would have been a very, very good game. That's how they give it up in basketball. But I'm going with UNC in the ACC. I'm not mad at either way y'all go with the picks, though. That's a good game. That would be a very, very good game right there. And I went with UNC with the ACC. So the ACC up 1-5-4 in my book. All right, next matchup. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. This would be a good matchup right here. Because both of these coaches, you got Dabo Sweeney for Clemson, right? And you got Cade Klubnik at quarterback. Their running back position, you know, they usually keep a lot of guys. He didn't go into the transfer portal because he wants to keep the continuity there. Dabo Sweeney does. He wants to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And I think that that's a strategic move. If you ask me, I think that may work out for him in the long run to keep his team together the way that he is. You got Joey McGuire over here at Texas Tech and Brennan Morton Jr., their quarterback. He came in last year and won. And out of his eight starts last year, he went 6-2. So when he came in, he changed. He got that team played for him. They really went and got behind Brennan Morton Jr. and they balled out. So And you know, Clemson coming with Dabo, but they lost some key pieces on that defense. Their spring game showing was decent to me. It looks like they got some nice pass rushers. I don't know if Cade is going to get the job done. I really don't know. But this game is another one of those games right here. But, I mean, I got to go with – you want to go with Clemson, right? You just want to go with Clemson just because – of Dabo Sweeney and everything else. But I honestly would say that this game is just going to come down to inches. And but I do think when you get to looking at the trenches, I think that Clemson's defensive line is just a little bit better than Texas Tech. And I think that may be the difference defense. And I got to go with Clemson, man. I got to go with Clemson in this. Got to. So I got it up too. But that's a good matchup, man. Good matchups, right? Good matchup. And I just did it based off records. Not like I, you know, mix and match them or anything like that. So now you got, and oh, by the way, that last one, Clemson finished 9-4 overall, 4-4 in their conference, and Texas Tech finished 7-6 and 5-4 in their conference. Okay. Now Virginia Tech overall 7-6. They finished 5-3 in the conference. Utah was 8-5. They finished 5-4 in their conference. We know that Utah is bringing it under Kyle Whittingham. We already know this. And Brent Pry with Virginia Tech. Kyron Jones at quarterback. Cam Rising for quarterback over there at Utah. Kyron Jones over there quarterback for Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech showed that they can run the ball. Cam Rising, they say he was very explosive in 2022. He was in Pac-12 with quarterbacks that the Heisman winning quarterback. And then you got who else was over there? Michael Penix Jr. was over there. Dorian Robinson Thompson was over there. Cam Rising was all up in the mix with those guys, going for over 3,000 yards, had the rushing yards and everything. So he's bound to come back and do that again. They're excited for him to do that in the Big 12. However, we just don't know if that's going to hold up. And we don't know after you come back from a leg injury like that, sometimes you lose something. Okay. You don't lose everything, but something is going to have to change in his game. Now, Did he make that adjustment? We just don't know yet. But I know that Kyron Jones could get it done. I know that they can run the ball. I don't know about the receivers. I know that Cam Rising knows his guys and that he can ball. This would just be another one of those good matchups. It would be. And with that being said, I think that Utah, you got to go with Utah on this one. In my opinion, Kyle Whittingham, the just a great program in Utah. And I think that prevails over. So I give it to the Big 12, man. I got to give it to the Big 12 in that one. All right. So right now we got the ACC with 6 and the Big 12 with 5. It's really close. Really, really close. In this game right here, right, you got quarterback Hayes King. And over there at Georgia Tech holding it down. Head coach Brent Key, they over there holding it down. They had an overall record of 7-6 last year, went 5-3 in the conference. West Virginia was 9-4, went 6-3 in their conference. We know Garrett Green can run like the wind. We also know that they got a lot of guys that can tote the rock. They like to tote the rock out of that option, like offense that they run over there. When you're talking about CJ Donaldson Jr., Jaheim White, you talking about some of the younger guys that they got going on over there. They got it going. All right. West Virginia definitely got something cooking over there. I think they're one of, I don't know why they're a sleeper. They're opening up against Penn State, Big Ten Blue Blood. So you can't sleep on a school like West Virginia and think that they're just going to roll over under Neil Brown, because it's not going to happen. And but they did lose a key part of their offensive line. Now, can he step up and make the changes or not? But I do think that Georgia Tech has what it takes to get this win, even though West Virginia is a powerhouse. But I got to this game right here, man, I know it'd be a good one. A little bit of defense. Let's see what it comes down to. I got to go with Georgia Tech, man. They're used to seeing a lot of speed and a lot of those runs because they played against guys, and they're used to that, okay, in the ACC. So I got to go Georgia Tech in this game. That was a tough pick for me, man. I almost couldn't even make that one for real. That's crazy, because now it's only 7-5 right now as it stands, all right? I don't know how ugly it's going to get from here. Now, we got NC State versus Kansas State. This one right here is bringing me a lot of pressure, because Kansas State under Chris Klieman, he just been having these boys ready every single season. Every single season, Kansas State finished 9-4 overall last year, 6-3 in a conference. North Carolina State finished 9-4, 6-2 in a conference. And you know North Carolina State is bringing it under Dave Clawson. You know they bringing it. And they got Grayson McCaw at quarterback. So they got a veteran quarterback. They have multiple guys that can run the ball. They have that receiver that is just so dang on fast. They got a passing game, and we know that K-State went and got a flyer in Dylan Edwards. He can fly too. Put Dylan Edwards in the open space and he can go. All right, we know this about him without a doubt. And Avery Johnson, that quarterback, the young promising quarterback, he can get it. He can run. He can make the throws. He's under leadership of a very good leader. The only questionable thing I have for K-State is the receivers and cornerbacks. That's the only thing with K-State in my eyes where I am a little bit concerned, is their DBs and their wide receivers. The only thing that, and that's just my opinion. I mean, they got DJ Giddens, unless they just going to pound the rock down their throat, and you're not going to do that against North Carolina State. I think that this would be another great game. Maybe a 1-3 point type of difference, but I have to give the edge to North Carolina State in this game. They have speed at receiver. They got decent corners. And I think that's where it changes. I mean, I think they match up well in every other area on the field. I honestly do. And having a little bit of inexperience at quarterback with Avery Johnson this year, I think that may hurt them in a game like North Carolina State if they were to play. This is a hypothetical thing. This is not something that's going down this year. It's something I made up to have fun with and talk about. All right. So that's just what I think in that game there. But I think that's another one of them great matchups, man. That's another one for the ACC in my book. I don't know what y'all got the score as, but I'll let y'all know at the end what we got. I think we got a couple more going. All right. So I like this quarterback. I really like the quarterback over here. And bro, I can't pronounce, man. I always mess up his last name for some reason. quarterback for Iowa State, right? I like the kid. He can play. Rocco Beck can play. He always is fourth in everything. He's not over the top athletic. He's not over the top accurate. He's not over the top QBR. He's not over the top in completing percentage. He's just right. He is a system quarterback. If you ask me, from what I've seen under Matt Campbell and with Rocco Beck seemed like he is a system quarterback for Matt Campbell's system and what that OC and what they got going on over there at Iowa State. They seem to be bringing back a lot of their veterans from last year. A lot of those guys, 21 people. They got a lot of people coming back. I don't even know why Iowa State's not in the top three to win the Big 12. In my opinion, it's just almost like a slap in the face. Really, to be honest, Louisville under Jeff Brown, they're patching up the team, right? But they went and got Texas Tech's old quarterback, but they went and grabbed some other guys that can get the job done. And Louisville was not bad at all. I mean, look, Louisville was 10-4 overall last year, 7-1 in the conference, only took one L, but that was the Pitt. That was to a Pitt team that had the kryptonite for them. But I think they went out and they addressed those moves for this year. But I also think that, you know, Iowa State 7-6 overall last year, that they were 6-3 in a conference. And I think that they should have been a lot better. And I think this year they would make those strides. I think that. But I do think that Louisville just has a little bit more talent and they got a head coach that knows what he's doing. They didn't go into the transfer portal all crazy. They went in there and got what they needed out of the transfer portal to make sure that they don't take another loss to a team like Pitt. There's no way in the world a Jeff Brohm team should have lost to Pitt last year, and they did. They went in there, they slept on them, they took that one L, and wound up happening. I'm in a conference, that is, in the conference. That's all I wanted to say. But they took some L's outside of the conference last year. But I think Louisville gets this one. And that's just my opinion. I think it's close, though. You know, it's a close one. Another real close one. Could be either way. You can make the argument either way, you know. And I did put some positives out there for Iowa State, but that's just me on how I feel on that one. All right. So the ACC right now is smoking the Big 12, man. They smoking the Big 12, man. Smoking them. Man. I mean, really, they really are. In my opinion. Now, this game right here, man, is a very good game, okay? Because you got Noah Fifita. He's one of the he got Shador by this much, man. Number one, he beat Shador in a head-to-head last year. All right, let's just call it what it is. Number two, he's right behind Shador when it comes to accuracy. Right behind, they had a good running game, so he didn't have to pass as much, nearly as much, but still can thread the ball and make all the throws. He showed that he could run. I mean, Arizona, Brent Brennan, he got to step up and got some big shoes to fill, dog. Got some big shoes to fill over there. He does, but I think he can get it done. They have probably the best receiver in college football. You can make an argument on McMillan, on Mac, on T-Mac, or you can go ahead and go with Luther Burden. Whoever is the style that you like the best, whoever got the best touchdown dance, I don't know. But I think that's just your opinion on either one. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys, whether they're your one or two. They both are the best receivers in college football, right? Because they just don't play for a over-the-top, good, great program. These are both two programs that are coming up the rise, and they both are contributing to their teams. It's not like they just went and jumped on an Oregon roster or an Ohio State roster or a Georgia roster. You know, these guys stayed down with their teams, and they built with them. And I respect that from Luther Burton, a T-Mac, Xavier Restrepo. I respect that out of those guys, you know. But like I said, all right, so we know Florida State, you know, Mike Norvell, been doing a great job over there. I mean, look, they were 13-1 overall last year, 8-0. They got, you know, 8-0 in the conference. Now, the thing about when you put a team together in the transfer portal the way that Florida State did, when it comes down to the bowl games and playing those games where school pride comes in to kick in, they bounce. They don't want to play. There's no pride in that. You know, you didn't see that with Arizona. They went and took it to Oklahoma. So Arizona can get the job done versus these teams. Now, did they lose some depth? That's where they lost at, is their depth. That's where I'm concerned about Arizona, their depth. Same difference. If Noah Fifita goes down, who do they have? Who do they have? Now, DJ Ungulale, he's been around. I like to say ugly game. Now, the game could be ugly from DJ, but that don't mean he can't win. Now, he's in a perfect system down there. He'll have the speed. He'll have the back. He'll have the defense. I don't know if they'll have another breakout year the way they had. That's why I think this is a very good game. Tough decision to me. But Noah Fifita with his new head coach, Mike Norvell, being familiar with Florida State, I would have to lean towards Florida State taking his victory. All right. And to tell you the truth, that hurts me because I'm a big fan of Noah Fifita and what they got going on over at Arizona. I respect what he did, staying down and everything. I do. I honestly do. All right. Now, these are the best two teams. We got SMU overall 11-3, 8-0 in a conference. Oklahoma State 10-4 overall, 7-2 in their conference. But by the way, Arizona was 10-3 overall, 7-2 in their conference, if I didn't say that. Once again, SMU 11-3 overall, 8-0 in their conference under head coach Rent Legit. And Oklahoma State 10-4, 7-2 overall. And they are under Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy, you know he going to put it up. You know he going to do it. You know Mike Gundy going to do it. You can say that Ollie Gordon is probably going to be one of the best running back in the nation. I mean, you got just off top. I mean, I like Quinshon Judkins up there at Ohio State. I think that, but he did not win a job. They're going to share carries over there. But when it comes down to it, I think you got Amaron Hampton up there, DJ Giddens from Kansas State going up there, and you got Ollie Gordon. I do think that the Big 12 has the best running backs in the nation. That's just me. Now, if I can go make a chart up and look at the other guys, but I think that the Big 12 got some good backs, very good backs, and the hungry backs that want to develop. And these are, you know, I think they got some backs, man, some good backs. They do. They're everywhere. Backs are everywhere. But, it'll come down to a very hard argument because you do got guys like Damian Martinez coming over there from Miami. And then you got Omarion Hampton. I think it'll match up well. The running backs will match up well. But let's just say the Big 12 got some heavy hitters too. All right. So I will recant that statement. Now, when Mike Gundy, they seem to have some things going on over there. Their quarterback, Alan Bowman, he played a decent, right? His turnovers is what kept Oklahoma from progressing as good as they should have been, right? They ran the ball so many times a game with Ollie Gordon because you just can't stop Ollie Gordon. And them having so much of their offense and defensive line coming back, they're like the sure fit runaway favorite to win the Big 12, them in Utah, because they got in the positions where it matters. They have the depth at both sides of the ball. Ollie Gordon is just a man possessed running against little boys. He's a grown man all the way, grown man. And Mike Gundy knows that. That's why he can spin him, because he knows it. He just knows he's a full-grown man back there running the rock. Then you have SMU, which is a very prestigious program, even if they're coming out of American Athletic Conference. Like they played some tough schools, all right? That when you're 8-0 in your conference, anywhere you're at, that's a tough thing to do. It is hard to win in college football, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what conference they come from. Conference they were in, got to give it up to a head coach like that. You have to. All right. Rhett Lashley, you got to give it up to him at SMU. This their first year in the ACC, but they got the pieces. Now, we know they like to spread it out. They got the quarterback for the job. Your cornerbacks better be ready. Now, that may be the only one thing, but the offensive line was ready. Preston Stone knows how to read, make all the reads, all the throws. He got some decent little wheels underneath him, which even makes him more dangerous because he will scoot on you if need be. And he got a cannon for an arm. Preston Stone, just dangerous all around. Maybe like they already have SMU being one of the top teams in the ACC based off of, their head coach, the production they got coming back, that means something, not just guys who came in and got a snap or two, but they're another one of those good teams like that. But in this game, I think that this game will come down to it. And when I did see, I think that if this was to happen, this game right here, Oklahoma State would win because I think that they would control the clock with Ollie Gordon. Now, it goes score for score, maybe. Maybe, but I do think that they got enough of their veteran guys that's coming back. That's seen a lot of the things going on with Oklahoma State. And they be coming back for the vengeance. Like, they're like, you know how I was talking about Michigan being a team last year that came back and they came back for the sole purpose to win the trophy. And then you got a team like Georgia doing that. Like, I would say Oklahoma State is the Big 12's team equivalent to that this year. So yes, I do think that they would beat SMU because they would control the clock. Could end up in a shootout. SMU has the edge at quarterback. Think they match up decently offense, defensive line wise. Oklahoma may have a little bit more experience. I don't know that to be a fact, but controlling the clock matters a lot when you can run the ball. And I don't know if SMU can do that, but I do know that I do think that they can score. They can just methodically move the ball down the field with Preston Stone and they can score. But controlling the clock means more. Well, Ollie Gordon. All right. I think that matters. And I don't think that they can stop him. That's just all I'm saying. So I had fun with this. Had a lot of fun with doing that one right there, man. That was super dope. Y'all got to check me out with that, man. Look. Now, me going through all that list and that whole list, that's like I said, once again, y'all, that's just based off of last year's records. I matched them up off of their last year's records on both sides. And then, but it's this year's teams. And it's just fun. It's the off season. And it was just fun to, you know, talk about the teams a little bit, get y'all a little bit of information about the teams that you may not know. Head coaches, you know, some of their quarterbacks, some of the running backs, so forth and so on, and, you know, what they may be thinking. Now, we do know that the Virginia Tech Hokies is one of the teams that has the most – they got a lot of return and production coming back, a lot of guys. They got 11 offense coming back, and then they got, like, 9 defense coming back. So they got – Danner got their whole team coming back. Oklahoma State has, like – 21 of their guys coming back. They got their whole offense and defense coming back. I don't know how they're not their favorites to win the Big 12. It's crazy to me. Then Iowa got a lot of their guys coming back, not on offense, not on defense. You got Iowa State that has 19 coming back. So that's a lot right there. Nebraska got a lot coming back. They got 19. And Baylor got 18 guys. That's a lot, man. That is a lot. They got an experienced offense, like, and I know I keep talking about them so much, man, but I'll save that for another time to get in talking about it. But that means a lot when you got returning production. So my final tally and the things, when I mentioned those guys with returning production, when you got those many guys coming back from starter, those guys played a significant amount of snaps to make the game, to have an impact on the game. So their experience coming back. Now, does that mean that they'll automatically win? No, it doesn't mean that, but it means a lot in for you to have that in the back of your head to know that those teams have that much production coming back. That matters, okay? So I got the Big 12 with winning 5 games, and I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is that 10 or is that 11? I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I got the winning 11. I got the ACC winning 11 and the Big 12 winning 5. That's crazy. I could be wrong. I'm just saying that's just me and my opinion as far as it goes. But I do. Well, one thing I will say about this is that these teams will match up great. Will it come out that way? Absolutely not. It would not fall down exactly the way that Trek and Chubby said it. No, it would not. That's just my opinion, and I'm having fun with it. And I would like for y'all to get down in the comments and let me know your tally score and which side are you leaning more towards. Because at the end of the day, this is all fun. There's no right or wrong with this. This is just a fantasy type of thing. You know, just to visualize the matchups and look at the matchups and the way that they would match up based off of their records from last year. So when we go talking about how a conference is just so much more dominant than another conference, let's sit back and let's visualize it. But I'll visualize it for us. Let me know down in the comments what conference you would like for me to match up next. I was thinking of doing the Mountain West and the MAC, even though we say that they don't matter, but let's just see how they match up, right? See how they match up. Let's see it, and then see if we could, you know, do that. And then we can maybe mix it up a little bit. Maybe we can go Big 12, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, SEC. You know, let's mix it up a little bit. Let me know down in the comments what y'all would like to see next, man. Hopefully y'all enjoyed the content. Hopefully everybody out there listening to me, y'all enjoyed it, man. Give me a 5-star review. Give me a nice little, some nice comments. Even if they not dislike, don't matter to me. Just make sure that you're there and you hit something. That's all I'm asking. But you can find me on Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Deezer, TuneIn, and everything else, man. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch also. Haven't been on there in a while, but I got to update that. But definitely probably be back up on Twitch for sure. Appreciate y'all kicking it with me, man. Trek and Chubby, man. Y'all know how I'm giving it up. Peace.
Wanna see Trek and Chubby live and co-host shit? Tune in, Fans Point of View, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. But in the meantime, in between time, enjoy the content. Don't forget to hit your notification bell for all updates. Thank you for watching.